Welcome everybody to the final Daily Boys right here on Wrestling Daily. Coming to you live, it is Alex McCarthy, I and SP3. And wouldn't you know it, on the final episode of the Daily Boys, there has been some big breaking news in WWE. They've been losing free agents at will, it seems, SP3. But another man, Kevin Owens, has finally said, no, you know what? I'm going to stay in WWE. And it appears that he's put pen to paper. We're going to jump into that shortly. But, you know, in true Wrestling Daily fashion, I think there's only one way we could really articulate Kevin Owens' thought process, SP3.
My mind's telling me no,
but my body's telling me WWE.
Baby, I don't want to hurt nobody, especially those AEW fans. But there is something I must confess. I don't see nothing wrong.
We're re-signing with the WWE.
I don't see nothing wrong.
I don't see nothing wrong, baby.
We're re-signing with WWE.
Better than R. Kelly himself. There you go. For anybody watching this, by the way, sorry, we should have been a volume warning, probably. But anyway, thank you very much for joining us here on Wrestling Daily. There was only one way we could start, man. Our R&B beginnings wouldn't allow us to go any other way. SP3, how are you, man? I see that you had some good news today.
Yes, I am starting a new project with my good friend / Twitter enemy, Rick Uccino of Sportskeeda Wrestling. We're going to be on the Believe Podcast Network, one of the big podcast networks in Los Angeles, the number one for professionals. And we're doing the Believe in Pro Wrestling podcast. So very excited as we close down Wrestling Daily, the era of Wrestling Daily, something new pop up. So just when you thought I was going to be less busy, I'm still busy, people.
I love to see it for a good brother. Congratulations, man. Thank you. To you and Rick. A little note on tomorrow, by the way, all four hosts still good to go, but the quiz is no more. The guy who's doing the quiz, the fan of the show, told me today that he had to pull out for undisclosed reasons, we'll call them, but it's still going to be a good time. We're still going to have fun. We're going to open up questions to all of you guys in the live chat and just have a good time with all the people that have supported Wrestling Daily over the past 14 months. And we're going to talk about some end of year stuff, have some fun debates. It'll be a good time. I'm looking forward to it. But no quiz, unless anybody in the next day can rustle up a goddamn quiz. But alas, let's get to the titular news that people want to talk about. We said it all in R. Kelly form, which is probably not the right form to do it in these days, but a classic's a classic. Listen, Kevin Owens re-signs. When the news came through from Sean today, I'm not, like, this is me being completely candid and honest, I was surprised. I didn't have any inside info which way he was going, but just as a betting man, I would have lumped, and I mean lumped, on AEW. So I'm surprised to see where this has gone, SP3. Give us some more details from what Sean reported today.
Well, the news broke this afternoon after, you know, months of speculation from everybody and their mama and everyone thinking that Kevin Owens had one foot out the door. Today, it was announced by Sean Ross Sapp of Fightful that he has re-signed with WWE. Apparently, talent within AEW that Fightful spoke to think that AEW would realistically match what WWE would offer to stay with the company. But it was basically sources in the company let Fightful know that Owens was offered an excellent offer to stay. And WWE sources spoke to say that they were over the moon about retaining Owens. So, I mean, this is this is the great news for WWE. It's great news for Kevin Owens in a lot of ways, because there was a lot of uncertainty. And with the level of free agents that are still available, with all the WWE releases, with the full roster of Ring of Honor now available, with numerous other, we don't know who's going to become available in the next couple of months, and Kyle O'Reilly and Johnny Gargano just becoming available as well. This was the right decision for Kevin Owens. If WWE gave him enough other benefits that assured him that his future in the company, he would be viewed as a top star, which he has all the talent in the world and has proven time and time again that he is. This is the best move for him, because he now knows what his future is going to entail. And for WWE, they had to lock in one of these three big names. They had to get someone. With the way Johnny Gargano, which I'm sure we'll talk about in a little bit, the way Johnny Gargano sounding on his Twitch stream, the way Kyle O'Reilly seems all strings are pulling him in the direction of AEW, now was the time for Kevin Owens to kind of sign, because WWE, really, that was their final option. If Johnny Gargano and Kyle O'Reilly are not going to make a decision until they give birth to their children, then they won't know if either one of them are going to resign until February, March, well into the spring next year. So they had to lock in somebody, and this was the right time to do it, because if Kevin Owens would have waited until after his contract expires, he would have heard offers from both companies. This was the only way for WWE to lock him in without him even talking to AEW. And I'm sure, as a basketball fan, if Cleveland could have re-signed LeBron James without him going around and talking to everybody, they would have done it in 2010. So this was the right move for WWE and the right move for Kevin Owens and his family in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we don't know the particulars of the deal other than the fact that it is a multi-year deal, but one has to imagine KO got paid, you know, these downside guarantees for guys in that spot, you know, is sort of like 2 million upwards. So one would hope that KO has got the bag to stick with WWE. And if AEW couldn't match that sum, you know, given how crowded their main event scene is right now, then yeah, I would assume, you know, I wouldn't take that as, I've just seen Romeo saying that in the chat, right? Like AEW not being able to match the offers is concerning. I don't think so. I think it's that they didn't have, you know, it's what you're going to pay for, and what would Kevin Owens have been in the immediate future, bearing in mind they've probably got the main event scene mapped out for the next maybe year. It's a lot of money to give up, right? But they would have been prepared to pay something. Also, make no mistake, WWE have more money than AEW. As a business, the Khans have a bigger personal wealth than Vince McMahon. But if we're talking about turnover and actual generation of profits, WWE can afford to pay more people. So KO gets a great deal, hopefully gets a great spot. If he'd left WWE without winning another world title, that would have been criminal. Criminal. And I still think it's staggering that him and Sami Zayn have never won the tag titles. Like the story was right there like three times. I don't know why they haven't done that. Who knows? But there was a lot for Kevin Owens left in WWE. I believe he's 37 now.
Yes.
So this is like the golden part of his run, right? Like I think Styles joined WWE around the same age, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, this is where Kevin Owens can really kind of get the golden stretch of his career. And I hope that he does, man, because I believe that he's a main event player. When I was looking at people about to depart WWE, and I was thinking to myself, man, like if Kevin Owens goes as well, I'm starting to run low on people that I really love. Like love, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I was like, man, AEW, because I loved Bryan Danielson. I love Adam Cole. Like they were picking up all my guys. And then if Kevin Owens went as well, it's just like, man. But for them to keep KO, I'm really, really pleased about. Because obviously I want both companies to be great, but I'm not gonna lie, there's a big part of me that's like, having seen the difference between John Moxley and Dean Ambrose, I would have liked to have seen Kevin Steen as opposed to Kevin Owens. I would like to have seen it. I would like to have seen that in an AEW world, how different, how much further Owens could push things in AEW. And also I would like to have seen him in the Owen Hart Cup too. I think that would have been perfect. Like a great thing for him to win, launch pad. There's a lot of things that could have been, but to me, I'm elated to see that WWE have retained him. And more to the point, what SP3 has said, it's a very big statement of intent when they've just been having this kind of mass exodus. Some of it intentional by releases, but Adam Cole didn't re-sign. Gargano and O'Reilly looked like they didn't re-sign. Danielson didn't re-sign. There's a whole bunch of talent which the company presumably would have ideally wanted to keep that they couldn't. And we still don't know what's going on with Gargano and O'Reilly. We'll touch on that shortly. But to not be able to retain people, it was starting a trend, a worrying trend against WWE in the climate since AEW came to the fore. And frankly, I'm shocked that Owens has bucked that trend. And I can only imagine that WWE's financial offer and I always, you know, WWE promises with inverted commas, but what they've kind of said they're going to give him creatively, that is, I have to imagine was appeasing enough for him to, because if he'd wanted to go to AEW and make less, he could have. He's made good money in WWE. He's had a good run. He could have gone and gone, you know, I want to work with the Bucks and Adam Cole now, which is what I fully expected him to do. I thought he was going to do what Adam Cole did. Same rationale. You know what? I could have done that, but I just wanted to work with my friends every week. And I really thought that's what Kevin Owens would do. But I'm so pleasantly surprised, SP3.
I mean, in a lot of ways, it makes sense because, you know, Kevin Owens always talks about in interviews that he always wanted to be a WWE superstar, that a lot of the reasons why he became a professional wrestler is that his dad got the VHS for WrestleMania 11. He saw Shawn Michaels versus Diesel, and he always wanted to be a wrestler from then. Shawn Michaels was always his favorite. So it makes a whole lot of sense that he would want to be a guy in WWE for life and be considered a success in WWE. He's gotten a good amount of success. But I don't think that, you know, we'll be talking about him at this point as one of like the biggest names of the past decade. But with this new deal, maybe there's a chance that they can do it, because there's a couple of guys that are as talented and as can be as big of a star as a Roman Reigns that WWE just gives you the feeling a lot of times a couple of months out of the year that what they're doing is just not important. Mm-hmm. Take that into comparison to someone like Edge. Ever since Edge, and yes, Edge is a Hall of Famer. Yes, Edge is from the Attitude Era. Yes, Edge is a former 13-time world champion. But at the end of the day, anything Edge has done since his return, it's important. Even a feud with The Miz, which he's basically doing the same feud that everybody has done with The Miz for the last 5 years, it's important. It feels important because it's Edge. I just want that for the Kevin Owens of the world, for the AJ Styles of the world, for the Seth Rollins of the world. Because if they start those guys that have the talent, that have proven that they can be top stars for the company, if they treat them like everything they're doing is important, whether it's in the title picture or not, then that means the guys underneath those guys, like a Ricochet, like a Cesaro, like Chad Gable, they will all rise up in because of that. Because if they're treated a level up from where they are, then everybody else will have to go a level up. So it's just, I hope this deal means that WWE is going to start treating Kevin Owens like a guy that he has proven to be, which is one of the top stars of the promotion. And to talk about what Romeo put in the comments, it's a common misconception that when you hear a report that says that sources in AEW didn't think AEW would realistically match the Kevin Owens offer, it is very quick for fans to assume AEW can't match any of the offers from WWE. Oh my God. I need y'all to read. Reading is fundamental.
It is.
They didn't think. There's no confirmation that AEW was going to match or not match Kevin Owens' offer. And two, Kevin Owens' offer is the other key words in this. This means for Kevin Owens, this one situation, this certain superstar, they didn't match the offer. Because what we've heard from interviews from both Adam Cole and Bryan Danielson since they left WWE is that AEW's offer was comparable to WWE. So all we have to go by is what these guys have said. And what they've said is that AEW can certainly match the offer of WWE if they see the value in the superstar. With guys like Adam Cole, Bryan Danielson, and CM Punk still fresh, they've only been here for about 3 to 4 months, it doesn't make sense to match the offer of Kevin Owens, because you can have all these guys and have the greatest roster of all time, but are you going to have you know, a spot for a Sunny Kiss, for a Brian Cage, who's always already making noise with his wife, for the guys that are younger that need that time, like a Lee Moriarty, like a Ricky Starks, like a Powerhouse Hobbs, Dante Martin. So you need all these opportunities for these people. So I totally understand with the sources in AEW thinking that AEW wasn't going to match that offer because it's just not the right time for them. But if someone like a Kyle O'Reilly, who might be looking for a little bit less, and you have a spot ready for him, they may match an offer from WWE. You never know.
Which, and again, I'm not saying they couldn't have carved out a spot for KO. I'm sure they could have. He could have been super elite fairly easy. But also, you know, Kyle O'Reilly slips right into the Undisputed Era kind of reunion tour that's kind of going on as well. Like you said, it's less money. If there's a world where CM Punk didn't return and Bryan Danielson did resign, maybe they would have thrown more money at Kevin Owens.
Yes.
Look, who knows? Of course, they didn't even actually get to throw any money at him officially. We don't know, you know, what phone calls Kevin Owens had. But either way, WWE obviously made him an offer that he felt very comfortable with. Just want to say something. You said Edge was a 13-time world champion, and straight away I was like, I don't think he is.
11. Oh,
11.
I always mix up the numbers. I thought Randy Orton was a 12-time world champion until they said on Monday 14. He's 14 times. Ooh, I don't know anybody except for Flair and John Cena.
Listen, the only reason, is Triple H 14 as well, or 13? He's one of the two.
I think he's 13,
So the only reason I bring that up, that correction, is because I went to obviously his Wikipedia to look at that. Did you know that Edge is won the second most championships in WWE history in total?
He's number one because R-Truth is the actual number one. Those are based on 24/7 title.
That's not good, is it? Do you know how many titles Edge has won?
I'm gonna say 30.
31. Wow, that's a good guess. 31. But of course, I think he had 10 or 11 tag title runs with...
Seven with Christian. Seven with
Christian, Ray, Hulk.
Yes. That's nine already. Randy, that's 10.
Okay, yeah. Wow. I think he had like 3 or 4 IC title runs.
Yeah.
I want to look it up.
What a career.
Bear in mind, this is him and Sheamus, I believe, are the only guys that King of the Ring, Money in the Bank, Royal Rumble. I think they're the only two that have done that trifecta, which is
You're forgetting one. Brock Box.
Oh yeah, you forget because Money in the Bank King of the Ring and Royal Rumble at the beginning of his career, and Money in the Bank later. Yeah, but. Yeah, I mean, Sheamus and Edge have like done it all, basically. Sheamus just needs the IC belt and he's done it all. Edge was IC champion 5 times. I can't remember one run, really, of him.
I remember when he beat Orton for the title in 2004. I remember he
battled with Christian over it. That's it, in the invasion.
Yeah, he lost it to Christian, won it back from Christian, but he originally won that title from Lance Storm at SummerSlam 2001. Correct. I remember that one, too. And I believe he was Intercontinental Champion at SummerSlam 2003 because that was the first time Toronto booed him because that was the triple threat with Batista and Chris Jericho.
Correct. Very correct. And of course, Jericho couldn't have an IC conversation without Jericho. Anyway.
Oh, that was actually SummerSlam 2004, actually. So,
Toronto. I was going to say, he was injured.
Yeah.
But anyway, I didn't want to correct you anymore, SV3. All right. I wanted to leave you. I wanted to check you out the door. We're going to move along to... talking about Gargano, right?
Yes.
Now, I don't like to drag Louis through the mud too often.
you saw the same tweet. He didn't learn his lesson from Bryan Danielson, ladies and gentlemen.
I was like, man, what the hell? So yes, the other day he was very much staying with the idea that Gargano actually would come back. Yeah. And he then tweeted this morning something like, "Oh, actually, now having watched the Twitch,
I mean, that was the giveaway, Louis. If anything, he goes, yeah, I was wrong. Based on what was said on Twitch last night, I don't think Johnny Gargano is returning to WWE. You don't say. Did he think like that he was just going to get it up? Like, you know, he just made a Twitch for a week. I mean, he might still be working this. I don't know. But anyway, there's another point I want to bring up. Louis made another tweet and he said, remember when I said now was the perfect time for wrestlers who are coming towards the end of their contracts to play WWE and AEW off against each other for leverage and get a better deal? And I was laughed at. What? Okay, one.
I just have a question. Yeah. If Louis is watching, why do you put these tweets like you're the first person who ever said these ideas?
That's what I'm just saying. So you've tweeted the common sense of contract negotiations and then gone, and it, like he's invented the wheel, by the way. And he said, y'all laughed at me. You know, that Family Guy with the tumbleweed guy. Y'all laughed at me. No, what? Who did?
Who laughed at me?
Everyone in the comments is just like, what do you mean? I don't know, the guy. I love you, Louis, but Jesus. Don't say every single thing that comes into your head, please.
You don't have to tweet every thought that comes into your head, Louis.
But that's just wrong. Like, he is by no means the first person that said, do you know what, now that there's two companies around.
It's not like people have been doing this since 2019.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's not like Pete Dunne did it just a few months ago. Like,
not like Randy Orton did it in 2019. Not like AJ Styles had plans to be in AEW and decided to re-sign with WWE when they offered him more money. Like,
Uptown Overdale ain't wrong here, to be fair. Dragon Louis through the mud, like, favorite thing. It's not. I message him and I'm like, brother, but I've stopped doing it now. Because he just doesn't listen. I used to be like, Lou, you know, you're asking for it. And he's like, whatever. Anyway, back to Gargano on Twitch. What were the kind of things he was saying last night, SP3?
He talked about different dream matches that he wanted to have when asked by the fans. One in particular was a matchup against Kenny Omega. And he also said that he would love to verse Lee Moriarty, which is one that caught a lot of people by surprise because Lee Moriarty isn't one of the names from AEW that gets mentioned too often, but he is a proficient technical wrestler and they would have some banger type matches, Johnny Gargano and Lee Moriarty. And then in particular, he did say that he wants to hear the fans keep chanting Johnny Wrestling and that he loves the Johnny Wrestling chants. And if they chant loud enough in a certain place, he might just show up. He said he watches everything. So that led to the questions about different guys that he wanted to face. So, I mean, when Gargano announced that he was opening up a Twitch, that was the first time in this whole thing that I was just like, maybe he might leave, because it's one thing to open up a PWTs tomorrow, you can close it, but yeah, opening up a Twitch is a little bit more of a responsibility. So yeah, maybe it's something that he's going to do until Candace has their child and he's just trying to get some more income in the time being while he's away from WWE, while he thinks about his decision. But all the things he said during the stream, him having the Twitch, and, you know, he has friends in AEW, it seems more likely than it ever has, especially after last night's stream. So I do understand one side of why, you know, Louis is changing his tune. I just wished Louis would have changed his tune when he realized, like, damn, I really put the same tweet for Bryan Danielson and I was wrong. Maybe I shouldn't tweet this about Johnny Gargano.
Yeah, he had no real reason to believe Gargano was staying. He was just like, I think he's staying. Okay. But I mean, that's the thing. It's a lot of work if he is just working us. Like, just to do the tease and the Twitch and all of this stuff, right? Like, it's conceivable that he could still sign again and then all that stuff goes away. But I just think all the signs, you hear that? Sorry, my daughter's calling at the door. Get up there, mama. But yeah, I just think it'd be a lot of work to then backtrack on that and be like, oh, yeah, if it was just a tease all along, it's a bit like, that'd be a bit lame.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know. For me,
I get my daughter's tablet. For me, I think Gargano is gone, and I thought O'Reilly was. I thought they were both gone, to be honest. But I would be happy to be proved wrong if that was the case.
Yeah,
there are main roster matches for both of them that I would definitely watch in WWE. But I think they've probably got more prospects of thriving in AEW. Do you think O'Reilly's a done deal too? Because that's obviously a lot more quiet.
I mean, out of all three names, Kevin Owens, Johnny Gargano, and Kyle O'Reilly, when it was initially those three names, I was like, all right, Kevin's team for sure, because he put out the teases on social media. As time went on, O'Reilly kind of pulled in the lead because of everything he was doing in WWE, just all the strings pulling him in that direction, and the ready-made feuds that basically, they've already got the wheel turning on bringing in Kyle O'Reilly. Like, you got Adam Cole aligned with the Elite. You got Bobby Fish now aligned with Adam Cole with the Elite. Kyle O'Reilly coming in just makes a whole bunch of sense. You can either do an Undisputed Elite with Adam Cole, the Young Bucks, Kyle O'Reilly, and Bobby Fish. You could do Adam Cole turning on the Young Bucks and aligning with Red Dragon. There's so many different directions. So he just seems like the foregone conclusion that, yeah, he's the more likely to go to WWE. With Johnny Gargano, it's just like these signs have been trickling in. He's the most unpredictable out of all three at this point, because I always had in the back of my mind that Kevin Owens loves the WWE. He wants to be considered a success in the WWE. There was always a chance he would re-sign there. And with Johnny Gargano, the way they let him depart from the company made me believe he's going to re-sign with the company, because why would they heavily tease him leaving, give him the final segment, the main event segment, up a whole matchup for him for his return if he's not going to re-sign. So,
but also, why would you put Bryan Danielson in the main event of WrestleMania if you thought, you know?
Also true. Also true. So it's just like, this is so unpredictable, but I am like 75-25 that Kyle O'Reilly will be in AEW. So that's the one I'm most certain
what,
of.
What faction of Gargano?
Gargano, after this Twitch stream, I'll go 60-40. 60-40 he goes to AEW. It might change tomorrow. Back to 60-40 he resigns, but
yeah.
60-40 right now he goes to AEW.
You know, I'm happy to say when I'm wrong, man. There wasn't one part of me that thought Owens was staying, really. I really thought he was gone. Just again, as I said earlier, the same reasons as Cole. And when we did the media thing in Wembley, like, I can't tell you how many people with the media who came up to me, they were like, oh, Kevin Owens is gone. Like, he doesn't care. I was like, he doesn't usually care, to be honest, with the media overseas. Like, I've had people tell me that before. Like, he'll get off a flight and he'll be like, oh, I can't be asked. Some of them are like that. He was nice to me, by the way, for the record. I only got to chat to him for like 3 or 4 minutes because they were trying to rush him away. But he was nice as anything. I didn't really understand where everyone was coming from, but they were like, I think he's gone. But again, I don't think they would have said that if they hadn't have read the reports. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I am genuinely stunned that he stayed. And again, delighted to be proven wrong. With Gargano and O'Reilly, I think both of them are gone. But once again, we've just seen I'm batting a bad average now.
Exactly.
Owens is gone. So don't put an investment in what I'm saying. Before we wind down the show, I'm going to do what I did yesterday and open up some questions. We'll go about 5 or 10 more minutes before I have to attend to my terrible children. We do have an Ultra Chat here, a couple, in fact, from, first of all, Mario Painesville Dan. And he says, I have a feeling this conversation will somehow gravitate towards Goldberg. He ruined Kevin Owens in WWE, right? One more time. We love you too, WD forever. Thank you, brother. Listen, Goldberg, I've said this a million times.
Just want to mention that, Goldberg.
Yeah.
Drop the mic.
Show over. Might be the last, you know, that's how I might end the show that way tomorrow. As a performer, there was very little for me in Goldberg. Cool that he put on a longer match with Bobby Lashley last time out. Appreciate it. But the finisher fests and squashes that he wasn't even performing very well, did not do anything for me. Nothing. And all I really care about seeing him wrestle now is Big E for the title. So Big E gets a big scalp. Or Riddle. They're the only two matches that interest me at all with Goldberg. And even those, like, I could leave him. I could live without him.
I've been realistically thinking that that's the route that they might go for Big E, because if Big E's the WWE champion going into WrestleMania, what other matchup is there for him that's already available on Raw that could be considered a WWE title match at WrestleMania? Like, Goldberg is the type of name. Plus, you know, Big E's going to be motivated to do something good with him in the build-up as well as the matchup itself. So that one, it makes a lot of sense to me. Like, I think, like, Edge is an option. But like I said, Edge can do anything and it's still going to be important. So I'd much rather see Edge versus, like, Kevin Owens or somebody now that Kevin Owens...
Canadian story.
Exactly. Yeah. Now that Kevin Owens has the new deal. Or the reason they're doing this Fatal 4-Way is to prolong the inevitable one-on-one matchup between Big E and Seth Rollins, maybe for WrestleMania. I don't know.
Yeah. Like, I mean, that story's there because obviously Seth's frustrated that he wants it. I think he ruined Kevin Owens, but the whole WrestleMania 33 thing, we all know, is stupid. Brock. The funny thing, for those of you that do are aware or not, Brock Lesnar in his book, he has an autobiography, Death Clutch. He says about the 2004. Matchup with Goldberg at WrestleMania. Vince comes to him and he says, "You're going to drop it to Eddie." And he says, "Why?" And he goes, "Well, because you got Goldberg at WrestleMania. You don't need the title for that." 13 years later, he says the exact opposite. Well, we need the title.
This is the biggest match on the card. This is the
biggest match. And the best story they had in the company of Owens and Jericho, they sacrificed with the title just so that Goldberg and Lesnar could have it. A really bad decision, if you ask me, which you did. But anyway, another Ultra Chat we have here from Kunal3641 says, should WWE get Rodman, Malone, and Shaq to form a similar faction to The Shield? Imagine Shaq Spear, Malone suicide dives, and Rodman being called a lunatic all the time. WWE needs more mainstream attention. Can you honestly tell me you don't want it? Put them in the right gear. Let me watch it. I'll watch it. A supersized Shield.
I could see Dennis Rodman coming out with a hot dog wagon, a hot dog cart.
Yeah.
Spraying ketchup and mustard. It's the same color as his hair, so makes a whole lot of sense. Shaq playing Roman, yeah, he would get the big push. And Malone as Seth Rollins, this makes a whole bunch of sense.
There it is. There were some questions earlier on in the show. Remember, if you did want to get them, sneak them in before we finish here, it's Q and with what you want to ask. So I'm just going to scroll through the live chat to see what we had, because there were a couple knocking around.
Yes, questions. Just put a Q in front and you can send
them. Like this, like that format that JPS Pet Nation has said. What is your favorite guest on Wrestling Daily? Wow. Oh man, that's hard. There's a few, like, I guess what's fair is to say the ones that spring to mind straight away.
Yeah.
Right. So, funnily enough, Ollie Davis was a very good guest on here when he was on. I've always enjoyed Tempest on this show. John Alba was great.
He was.
As was Sean. Sean was one of the, obviously Ross Sapp, he was one of the early ones we had when we first started doing this. I mean, I'm not just saying it because Sid's here, but sorry, SB3's here. But the True Hill Heat gang, where Chrissy Love infamously said Tessa Blanchard. Chrissy was great. Man, like, yeah, we've had a string of them. I've been lucky enough to get a lot of guys and girls that I really admire and respect in on a Friday. Yeah, Andrew Thompson as well. He sticks out in my mind as a great guy. We've been really lucky. really lucky. And Andy Shepherd was great as well.
Yeah, he was.
It's just honestly, like, there's a whole list of them, which is why I hope that we do keep the videos of Wrestling Daily up, because there are so many good episodes like that where we dive deeper into people and their journeys. And yeah, that's a good question. What about USB 3?
Yeah, I mean, selfishly, I might have to say True Hill Heat being on here, because that was a good episode. It was hilarious hearing Chrissy just go off. Out of the other ones, Andy Shepherd was a very good one. Joe Holbert from The Distraction was very good when he was on here. I like the one where you had, I think it was Gary Cassidy and Jeremy Lambert.
That was a really good one.
That was a really funny one as well.
I'm on with Jeremy tonight, by the way. Jeremy, nice. Joe Holbert, I'll be with Fightful doing the pre-Winter is Coming in about 3 hours' time for anyone interested.
Go watch that. Good stuff over there. So, yeah, those are the ones that stand out the most to me. My personal all-time favorite, though, is Big Daddy Dangly Daily, Doc Gallows. Doc Gallows, because he had a good time.
Yeah, he was very cool, too. Stephen Webb says, what are the chances we get an announcement by the end of the year about the future of you guys, Sat and Steph? Well, I don't know if our next endeavor will have all four of us as part of it. I know that all of us are going to continue to do things, and hopefully we can collaborate together. There are some ideas floating around right now. I'm not sure they'll be finalized in the next 2 weeks. Just looking at the calendar right now. But I had some discussions today, so that should give you hope that things are moving forward. Yeah, whether it's a trio or a duo, like, you will see some stuff from the guys here at Wrestling Daily. I have ideas. Let's just say that meetings are taking place now. And when I do have news, you know, official news, I will share. But we've got some irons in the fire, haven't we, brother? And I'm confident things are going to work out.
Indeed. I'm excited.
Did you just funaki me?
Indeed.
Yeah, as your mouth goes. Favorite Wrestling Daily moment. Oh, wow. So again, I really enjoyed the first. We did homage to it at the beginning of this show. I really enjoyed our first sing along of R. Kelly, because it was totally organic and we didn't plan it at all. Yes. Like, we just did it, and it turned out really funny. And well, I thought it was anyway. So that's one of my favorite moments, because it was just so much fun. And I think MJF being on the show is probably my favorite. What's going on here? You want to come on the show?
Run in time.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What's up?
Say hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Well, she's got a night. Let's have a look at your night. It is. I love New York.
Hey, New York.
New York in the house.
What you're representing.
What did you do at school today? Did you wear a Christmas jumper?
Yeah.
And what are you doing tomorrow?
Singing.
And what are you going to sing?
Christmas songs.
Christmas songs. Like what? Jingle bells.
Yeah, single
world. That's right.
Yeah, lovely.
Have you? You've had your run in. You ready to go to bed?
Yeah.
With tablet.
Yeah.
Can you say night night?
Night night.
Night night.
Night night.
Have a good night.
Can you say night night? Good eggs.
Night night.
Legs. can you say good eggs?
Good girls.
Good girls.
Say welcome to my show. Thank you.
Thank you for watching. Go on,
the best. The best.
Love you. Night night. Bye. There you go. Bye. The run-ins will never get old. There they are.
Run-ins always pop me. I'm always a mark for those.
That's it. But yeah, I would say the MJF interview for me. What about USB3?
I kind of have one for like every guest. I mean, no, every host. Like, that stands out in my mind. Mine in particular would be when I became the ethnic YouTuber.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. when we talked about Dave Meltzer calling Bad Bunny a ethnic celebrity. So yeah, that was very fun. Of course, yeah, our sing along, because that was just organic and came out of nowhere, and a lot of people enjoyed that. Steph, it was her screaming on the episode with all four of us was excited for CM Punk's debut. For Sat, it was the first cold open we did when I told him just be Booker T and Lucas Hulk Hogan. That's the only direction he needed, and he was able to do the whole promo, and that was just perfect. So yeah, that would probably be like for each of the hosts, like my personal favorites.
Uptown Everdale says, what was your favorite Uptown Everdale comment? Which, by the way, there are plenty. But of course it is, cocaine is a hell of a drug.
Cocaine is a hell of a drug.
But I just looked through the... So we don't have the clip in the back end anymore. So I'm going to have to find it for tomorrow's show. We need to do it one more time.
Yeah.
Because I can't tell you how much... In the early days of the show, when we'd get the feedback after, it'd be like, you have to stop playing that clip. They were like, why? You're going to stop monetizing the channel. I was like, oh, well...
Maybe need to do that.
Yeah. No reason now, is there? Right. Anyway, I think with that, we will call it a wrap. We're just looking at the other questions. There's a lot of Kyle O'Reilly stuff, but we'll finish with Josh Blunt. Should Winter Is Coming have a surprise debut, or should it focus on the title match? The title match is more than enough, isn't it? But I think people have come to expect certain things out of Winter Is Coming. I don't want this to sound like a report, but I get the impression from those I speak to that there are going to be some big things happening in the next few weeks for AW. Whether that means debuts or not, I guess is up for debate. But if anyone, O'Reilly, I guess. I don't know how far out people like Keith Lee and Ember Moon are, but I guess if anyone, I'd say O'Reilly.
I can see O'Reilly. My far out one would be Bray Wyatt, Wyndham Rotunda. I could see him coming in, making a surprise, because it's been a lot of time since. I could see the Briscoes confronting FTR after what happened at ROH Final Battle. So those are like there's one that's probably out there, and then two that are probably going to be more likely than I don't see Kyle O'Reilly debuting here. I could see him debuting on the first episode of Dynamite on TPS.
Yeah, there you go. They're going to have something loaded for that too.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for joining us here.
One last Ultra chat.
Oh, all right. Oh, God damn it. Company men. Chris Petru, 6 months has been a good egg. Hi, friends. Financial reasons aside, was there ever, with the changing landscape of the wrestling this past year, could it be about the right timing too? I assume you mean
talking about Kevin Owens. Yeah.
I don't know, because he wasn't really in a great spot until the last couple of weeks, right? So, yeah. You know, whether they've kind of made a renewed effort to make him feel wanted as well as monetarily. I think it just, you say timing. I think letting your contract run down in this climate, if you are a star of Kevin Owens' size, is smart.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the smartest move for him was to let it expire, and then hear offers, like I said at the top of the show, hear offers from everybody and see what every company has, what's the difference between being in WWE and being in AEW. I just think that Kevin Owens wanted some solace for his family. He's got kids, he's got a wife, so he has a lot going on in his life. So he wanted the solace of knowing that he has a contract, knowing that he doesn't have to do any type of like negotiation further. So yeah, he needed that security.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's funny. I wish I'd seen this earlier when my child was on screen, but Stephen Webster, David McCarthy, how'd you feel about Goldberg? She would have cut a hellacious promo on that man. She would have tore that man to shreds. Stephen Webb, I assure you. Carol says, yo, Alex, did you find out about the show? No, I didn't. Actually, I did ask about that today, but no one messaged me back. That's what happens when you're on the way out, I think. But I will endeavor to find out by tomorrow. Hopefully, we'll have an answer on that one. Lizzie, would you want us to sing?
Huh? Yeah, what do we sing?
You need to give us some kind of direction rather than just singing. You know, absolutely. Like I can give you a Mark Henry sexual chocolate where he goes,
go ahead.
Ah, dum, dum, dum. Like, and the piano just hits in. And it's just a guy in the background going, and it's like just a guy going, sexual. Yeah, it's a very provocative tune. But yeah, she wants us to sing Ball Bags. Well, I mean, I don't know about that.
Ball Bags? What?
No, I think she resigned. I think she'd resigned herself that we weren't singing. It was Ball Bags, but there you go. Unless Lizzie comes in with a scorching hot request. Oh, she said that would do nicely. So thank you very much for joining. This is the last Daily Boys, but I can assure you 1,000,000% this won't be the final time the Daily Boys are together in audio form or video form or any kind of form. Like I've said before, with all four of the people here, but particularly my boy SB3, become family. I love this man and his family. And we will be doing more stuff together. So if you have been a fan of us and what we've done here, man, we appreciate you more than anything, more than you can imagine. And hopefully you'll slide with us to the next adventure, of which there definitely will be. SB3, where can the people find you, my man?
You can find me on the Twitter machine at, which one is it? Okay, this one. No, that one. SB3. I will be back here tomorrow for the final Wrestling Daily episode as well. And True Hill Heat, 156 this Saturday, 11:05 a.m. Eastern Time, our fifth annual True Hill Heat year-end award. So check it out.
Make sure you do. As I've said, if you want to do me a favor in any way, True Hill Heat, Stephanie's YouTube channel, and of course, the newly launched Satie Nyangi's channel. Make sure you give those guys a good subscribe. And with that, make the jump over. Cruiselmania is starting in about 12 minutes' time. Make sure you're there fresh and early. Get that chat going. Complain the Daily Boys never got their shot. We never got the shot. And we will.
They literally had to end the show so we didn't do Quizzlemania War Games. They didn't want none of that smoke. They didn't want Alex McCarthy being Braun Breaker and destroying Ollie Davis with the gorilla press power slam and spear through a table. So they was like, you know what? Let's axe it. Before they get closer.
That's what it is. Anyway, we love all of you good eggs. Thank you very much for riding with us here on the Wednesdays with myself and SP3. We will see you tomorrow for the emotional farewell of this Wrestling Day. Bye-bye.